Good morning.
Morning.
Nice to have in today's scripture a reading where Jesus is talking to us about a parable of a father who has two sons. One son he asks to go and work in the vineyard, and the son says no, and then later goes. The other one says yes and doesn't go. I want to draw attention for these moments right now to what is this vineyard that Jesus is inviting us to work in? What does it mean to work in the vineyard? What does this metaphorically symbolize, connote, relate to us? What is God inviting in us? Jesus gives a little bit of an idea of this vineyard when he talks to the chief priests and the elders of the Israeli community, saying that the prostitutes and the tax collectors go into the vineyard. Why? Because he says they believed John. They believed in God's word. They believed in the coming, the fulfillment of Jesus, God incarnate, God present. And he says that the chief priests and the elders didn't believe. And they're like the second son who says, I will, but they don't. I want to draw a connection between what this vineyard is about and this belief. Because in the vineyard, it's a place where we grow crops, specifically grapes, the vines. And what do we do in the vineyard? Well, we till the soil, we plant the seeds, we water it, and tend to it, maybe pull some weeds as we go along in our own personal gardens. I'm sure a lot of us have gardens in here. And the sun shines, it grows until such time as the fruit's ready, and then we harvest and we enjoy it. And I want to point out the starting place that Jesus seems to be identifying in this passage is that it's that belief that John the Baptist came to speak about, that John's authority came from God. And in similar manner, referencing Jesus's words, that Jesus's works are from God. And in the second reading, that's what Jesus tells us specifically, saying, do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own, but the Father who dwells in me does his works. Jesus is relating this cornerstone, this seed of belief that gets planted in our being, out of which can grow and become something that, as Jesus writes a little in the second sentence, those who love me will keep my word, and my Father will love them, and we will come to them and make a home with them. This is about creating the right environment so that God, or we can say Jesus, but that's God incarnate by the virtue of Jesus having emptied himself completely of everything except for God. Although Swedenborg does say that there was a little bit of Jesus left, but when Jesus was on the cross and he cried out, Eli, Eli, lema sabachthani, my Father, why have you forsaken me? That little bit was gone. And Swedenborg says, we are likewise invited by God, through God's example, to clean ourselves, to make ready for God to become present in our being, our souls, our hearts, our minds. So when that seed can get planted, we have to tend to it. And, you know, sometimes the vineyard has the vineyard of our own self. You know, this is kind of like a metaphor for our own personal being. We each have to work in this collective vineyard, but there's also the personal vineyard. You know, the collective vineyard, in the way Swedenborg refers to the vineyard as the church. And so this is our participating in God's presence on earth. And what does that mean as a community, as we go about as a humanity, and as we live the outer work that we are called to do. And we all know what these are. We grew up with them. The Ten Commandments is a wonderful cornerstone by which we have learned, you know, to know that there is only God, and you know, thou shalt not, and then on and on and on. And whatever our parents add to it. And so, but Swedenborg says that's the external, which is actually fed and sourced from the internal. And so that's what I would like to draw a little bit of attention to in this time, about the internal vineyard, our own personal vineyard. And that's the vineyard of our individual relationship with God. First, starting off with a belief. And sometimes, at various times in our lives, maybe we planted a couple of seeds, and maybe they haven't quite grown the way we wanted. They haven't produced the fruit we would have liked. Maybe our soil is a little bit packed, you know, a little dry. And, you know, sometimes this life, by virtue of what it is, drawing our attention away from this reflection, collection, into an awareness of God, God's presence, and God's creation. You know, this creation sucks our... The needs of what we have to do as responsible parents and teachers and professionals and family people takes us into our daily routines. And that's wonderful when we bring in with it the awareness that it's not just us. As Jesus showed, it's the Father in Jesus doing the works, saying the words, trusting that God is seeking to come through us, being aware of that. So sometimes we don't feel a certain kind of love in our heart. We feel dry. So it takes a little bit of adjustments. We have to get the rototiller out, you know, and turn up the soil. But the soil that's rich and nutritious is often the one where there's been some decomposition, where the leaves and branches have kind of been turned into the ground. And those are the parts where we're often the most vulnerable. Those are, psychologically speaking, parts where we found the most, we've been wounded. Maybe that's in a relationship with, you know, a parent, a spouse, a child. You know, maybe it's something where we've had aspirations and hopes professionally. Or maybe it's trying to provide for a family. And those hopes were, certainly in this economy, thrown into something that it's just broke us. Or we're hurt from that. But those are some of the rich soil, that those parts where we've been kind of broken open, where the seed can find the most nutrients, minerals, from which to grow. To grow what? A love. Jesus speaks about a love. I mean, we all hear God is love. And of course, in its many wonderful ways, Jesus is coming to encourage more love. And the way Jesus says to do that is to those who love me will keep my word. And Jesus' word is to love God with all your heart, mind, strength, and soul, to love your neighbor as yourself. And Swedenborg goes into, you'll see there's a quote from Swedenborg talking about the vineyard, and specifically grapevines, are symbolizing the love for our neighbor. And he goes on to identify the love of God as more of an orchard of olives, and the olive oil being that love as a metaphor. But you know, we're just looking at one particular part of Scripture right now, but ultimately Jesus does say that the love of God is primary, out of which the love of neighbor can flow as secondary, but as just as important for the sake of our outer expression, the outer work, the work that we do in this vineyard. So, I'd like to also just draw a little parallel to some words by this 16th century Saint Teresa of Avila. I think many of you might have heard of her, a mystic in Spain, who wrote about the four stages of prayer. And I want to reference this because prayer is, it's our relationship with the divine, with Jesus, with God. It's our way of relating, communicating, being intimate with the divine, that we are grateful for this life that we have. And in the first stage of prayer, she identifies that it's like a well, where you have a bucket and you have to lower the bucket down into the well to bring up the water. And you know, we find that it's pretty laborious, and sometimes it's kind of hard and difficult. But in order for us to feel the love of God, we have to keep applying ourselves, keep working in this vineyard, keep tending to the seed for it to come up, keep watering it, keep providing the love, whatever little love we have in this bucket on the seed in order to nourish it, keep it fresh and moist and keep it alive. And through God's grace, at some point, the love starts to grow. We see the shoots coming out of the surface of the earth. We finally see some sprouts. Oh, so we feel God's love a little more fully in our life. We love God more. And in a way, she talks about it as an apparatus that the buckets are able to be lowered and brought up, and the water can flow from the well more regularly and more easily. There's still some work, but this is the stage where it's a relationship. It's like a communication between us and God. It's a period where we ask God, you know, and God responds in ways that come to us in our life. It might be perhaps somebody speaking to us, saying something that answers the prayer we just asked. It might be an intuitive knowing, just a gut feel on what we're being invited to follow, pursue. It could be a dream. Some people know about this dream I had. I'll share it because it's speaking to me now. About 8 years ago, I was a stay-at-home dad with my kids, and I was overwhelmed trying to balance my school and my kids. And my son was taking a nap, and I just felt overwhelmed. And I just cried and cried and cried, and I said, how does one handle all this? What am I supposed to do? How am I to, this mixture of leading a life and trying to be a spiritual person? And so I took the Bible and I opened it. And the passage said, love thy God with all thy heart, mind, strength, and soul. Okay, so I trusted that. God had spoken to me through Scripture. Just I open it up. Don't need to be confirmed. I just said, okay, God. So then I started to pray. How? How does one do this? And I begged and cried. I said, God, my bucket's small. How? And so I woke up the next morning and I had a dream. And in this dream was a song. I'm singing it again, so I'm not embarrassed. But the song was from the Cardigans, and that was all. And the words were, love me, say that you love me, fool me, go on and fool me, love me, pretend that you need me, I don't care about anything but you. Oh. That was it. This is that relationship, the communication. God answered my prayer. For me, it was God saying, you know, pretend you love me. Imagine it. And so I did. I said, okay, well, if I imagined I love God, what would I do? And I saw two people kissing in the street, and I imagined, oh, there's love, you know, in there. It's like, I imagined, ah, God, it's like a kiss. And then, you know, I remember hearing on the radio some songs. I mean, every song, every romantic song that you can think of, I was saying, okay, this is this love song. God speaking to me speaking to God. It's this dynamic of translating in my mind this imagination of me and God in this loving experience. And I tell you, it just, my heart just went poof, and the water started to flow. And so this stage, sometimes we get answered prayers. Sometimes it takes a little while. I had a wonderful insight from a professor at JFK University when I was doing my studies, who said, intuition rides on the waves of passion. When you're really passionate to know an answer, when you really implore God, You know, it's like that, you know, the judge and the woman telling the judge, you know, I forget what scripture passage it was, but, you know, eventually the judge is going to give in to that woman who keeps nagging him. You know, God, we just keep imploring, God, give me an answer. Help me. Help me to kind of understand what it is you would like in this relationship. How can I come to you? How can I love you? And it's unique and different for each one of us. We each have our own vineyard to tend. And so Teresa explains that at one point, the water no longer becomes so laborious to bring up. It becomes like a river where we can go and get the water from the river. The water starts to flow more easily. We can water our plant. And so the vine starts to grow, expand. The branches grow out. The leaves come forth. Little grapes start to come up. And so sometimes during these stages, you know, there are still weeds to pull. We still find that we have to tend to that. And psychologically speaking, we do need to pay attention to all the things that come up. Why? So that this home that Jesus speaks of trying to make inside of us is a little cleaner. You know, there's not so many weeds coming through the floorboards. I remember one time I had a dream where there was a weed coming up through the floorboards in the house. And I started to pull on it in my dream. And all of a sudden I realized, wow, this was not coming up. This is the deep one. I was going to rip out some boards and have to go down and get at it. But that's what we might have to do. We might find perhaps like, you know, the tax collectors. Maybe there's something we're attached to. Maybe if it's not money or possessions or how other people think of us. Maybe it's something in our hearts that we feel, you know, I just can't let go. Maybe there's something that we feel we're a little identified with, you know. This is the way I expect God to come to me. I'm hoping God will show God's self through, I said a dream, but I mean it could be, you know, through a love of another, a spouse, a partner. God is inviting us to look at some of those things that come up. And they're easy to find. Wherever in relationship we get a rub with somebody, that's a great starting point. That's a place where we can find our personality, finding its kind of being chafed. Some weeds that we can explore. And not to necessarily always rip them out, because they could be a beautiful flower in disguise. So we have to be careful. Some of our worst pain that we might experience as a, we might think as a weed, turns out to be the biggest gift, the grace. Like I said, broken hearts become this nutritious soil by which this plant can grow. So the invitation is to look at what comes up in our lives as we try to hold this love of God. And it's not always loving. It's sometimes very dry. You know, God, I know I love you, but I don't feel anything. You know, when, since we were a kid, when we had a kid experience, we might have just felt this love of God, this magical, and then we get become an adult, and life's kind of heavier and drier. But St. Teresa is inviting us to persevere, to continue working in this vineyard, to continue tending to the vine that we're trying to cultivate, to grow, that God is wanting us to grow and cultivate. And it starts with that love, that God loves us completely. I mean, he just says, if you love me, you will obey my word. And what was Jesus' message? His word was, I love you. I come and I show you the way I love you. I tend to all the needs of those who are wanting, are hurting. And then I attend to you. At some point, Teresa speaks about the life of this relationship with God coming like the rain. And it just pours out of the sky. And that's like a communion. It's just present and all around. It's abundant. It fills you. And that's the love, that's the harvest. Those are the grapes we get to eat after all of that labor. Where we experience something inside of our hearts that fills us. Teresa, it was ecstasy. For some, it might be joy, bliss, a sweetness. Who knows? What is it for you? That's God's gift to you. The harvest we get to enjoy at the end of all of the labor, the sweetness in our life. A quote by a 19th century spiritual teacher named Saint Theophan from Russia. Has a nice way of, he expressed this from his experience. And he says, in the incarnation of Jesus in the heart, that's how he refers to it, in which becomes a remembrance of God as a ceaseless presence of Christ in the heart. That beautiful experience that he shares is just the simple presence of God in our being, a home. Perhaps a few more weeds, but they don't really matter anymore. We don't care about some things. Why? Because we're caring about enjoying the grace, enjoying the abundance of love that fills us and that pours out of us.